Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Welcome, everybody. Great to be with you on December 24th. It is Christmas Eve. And boy, do we have a great show for you on Christmas Eve today. And if you're listening to the replay of the show, which will be replayed tomorrow, then Merry Christmas to you all, because it's also going to be our Christmas show. And we've got a great one for you today, friends. At the bottom of this hour, the 6 o'clock hour, which is the only hour that is rebroadcast at 6 in the evening, yet all 3 hours will be up on the podcast. We have David and Amanda Vitale. I told you they are the members of the Awakening Church. They held a summer-long every day, every evening, worship service down at the Riverfront Park in Salem. They're going to talk about that and what it did for the city, what it did for people who are struggling, I mean, really struggling with, you know, this whole business of being shut out from your church, from being shut out from society. But also about what they plan to do with that in the future. That's the first part of the conversation. The second part of the conversation will be how the left and Antifa has gone after them. Why? Because they go do praise and worship music in front of Planned Parenthood. You know, it's that place that gets your taxpayer money to kill babies. Yeah, that place. How Antifa now is coming after them. Speaking of Antifa, there is a lawsuit that a judge in Oregon has allowed to go forward. It's conservative gay political journalist Andy Ngo. You see him on TV. He has a lawsuit against some of the Antifa folks that assaulted him, actually caused him what may be lifelong brain injury. Anyway, the judge says he can go forward. Now, here's what's interesting about this. Well, there's a couple of things interesting about it. The first one is that a judge is probably putting themselves now squarely in the sights of Antifa. That shows some courage. It also means that a judge is standing up for a change and doing something that needs to be done. And a nationally known attorney is working with a good friend of mine, attorney James Buchall from Portland, conservative, is working with Harmeet Dhillon. And you see Harmeet on Fox regularly. She's taken on a lot of these cases. She's based out of the Bay Area and is really standing up for conservatives legally in court. Now, what I find fascinating about this is that this is the offense that we need to be doing. This is what needs to happen. So Megan Marie Stevens, we talked about her. We had her on the show a week ago Wednesday. And thank you to all of you. And I mean this sincerely. Yeah. All of you who have personally reached out to her to bless her and stand with her in this time where Antifa has done everything they can to destroy her life. And during this time of Christmas, she's been under extreme stress. And many of you have reached out and have blessed her life with finances so that her kids, because she lost her job, folks, because of Antifa and the left. She's had a very difficult time in making ends meet. Plus, they've slashed her tires. I mean, they've done all kinds of things. Bottom line is, thank you to all of you who have reached out and have blessed her and her children. She has 3 kids, so that they can have a decent Christmas. Thank you to all of you. My point in sharing that with you is that Andy knows going on offense. She needs to go on offense. And she told me a couple of days ago when I delivered some gift cards to her. She told me that, you know, once she gets through Christmas, She wants to sit down with lawyers that I have recommended to her so that she can go on offense. This is what needs to happen. Now, what's interesting here is that two of the Antifa members that she has, Andy Ngo, rather, has identified in his lawsuit are in hiding. Isn't that interesting? Why would they be in hiding? I mean, if they believe so much in what they're doing, are they afraid of standing up and facing a judge and a jury? Why? I mean, if they have such a social justice mindset and the whole country is behind them, right? Which it isn't, of course, but they claim it is. Why would they be afraid? Why would they not stand up and say, this is a slap lawsuit, which is one of the arguments that the judge rejected? Okay. Salem leaders, by the way, condemned the anti-lockdown protest at the Capitol. You know that one, that melee that happened on Monday? They condemn it. Chuck Bennett, the mayor, old friend of mine, city councilors, they condemn it. But you know what? I did a little research, and maybe I just didn't do enough research, but you know, I couldn't find any condemnation from Mayor Chuck or these other folks when Black Lives Matter and Antifa were defacing the statues there at the Capitol and breaking windows at the Capitol. It's funny. I didn't see that. Now, maybe one of you listening in the audience could literally do some additional research and see if you can find it. It's very possible I missed it, and if so, I will apologize, but I find it interesting that they're silent on that. But they condemn people who stand up and lawfully, peacefully protest to a point. Now, let me just say this. The guy that they're looking for that you can see on the video, and you'll see this in the Statesman Journal, or actually it's a Channel 2 article. The guy that's breaking the window, they need to find him, and he needs to be arrested, and he needs to be charged, and he needs to make amends. You should not be doing that. There's nothing that justifies that. I'm sorry. It just isn't. Neither is there getting into a melee or fracas and macing cops. That's not smart. And yes, they may have gotten overly aggressive. That's too bad. The bottom line is, that was the people's house. We had a right to walk in there. I do not believe constitutionally Salem police or the Oregon State Police had a right to exclude us from the building. It is ours. We own it. I know they were following orders, but at some point, we've got to stop this, folks. Now, that does not excuse the wrong behaviors of our people. Breaking glass was wrong. This guy needs to pay the price for it. Assaulting a police officer, if we're going to be intellectually honest and we say it's wrong for Antifa to bear spray or shine lasers in the lights of cops in Portland or in Salem, then we ought to be intellectually honest and say it's just wrong for people on our side to do it. There is no justification for it. If we're to be intellectually honest, and we better be as conservatives, as people who believe in liberty. Now, let me just say this also. I want you to think back to a earlier show this week where I asked you the question, if everything fails, the courts, the politicians, what do we have left to protect our liberty? because as I said 2 days ago in the theme of this show, it's not about Trump. It's about you. It's about your life. It's about your future. It's about your inalienable rights given to you by God. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Your rights that are guaranteed in a constitution that tyrannical leaders like Kate Brown do not believe those are your rights. Oh, they give mouth to it, but they do not practice it. What are you going to do? Well, I'm telling you, if you think that lockdown protest was anything, you have no idea, Chuck Bennett, Kate Brown. If you think Tina Kotek and Peter Courtney, that the Timber Unity rallies with thousands of trucks and tractors driving around the Capitol, blaring their horns, not once but twice. If you think that was disruptive, you haven't seen anything yet. Because when all else fails, the people of America are going to stand up. Now, friends, it should never be done with violence. Again, if we're going to be intellectually honest and hold ourselves above the fray, we do not do what Black Lives Matter and Antifa do. And when you have people who get out of control on our side, you know who needs to be policing them? We need to police them. We need to pull them back. Say, don't do that. Stop. You're making us look bad. Because I want you to think about what happened in this election. All across America, Republicans won. Donald Trump won by huge numbers, and that will be proven, I believe, in the end here. But so did Republicans all across the country, folks. In the House of Representatives, we took over a state capitol, Maine. All of the $200 million that the left put into gaining control of legislatures all across America, it all failed, folks. Why? Because of Antifa, Black Lives Matter. That's why. Because of the damage they did to places like Portland and other places and the other riots. And the insane, crazy idea that defunding the cops is a good thing. It made an impact. Because people know it goes against basic common sense. And they abhor the violence. Even if Kate Brown and our Democrat leaders were really late to condemning it. But we do not want to be like them. We don't want to have that kind of attitude or that kind of backlash against us as conservatives. We stand for liberty. By the way, Trump's retweeting the Pence card meme from yesterday. Talk about that.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. My apologies for not getting to the phones in that first segment for today here on Political Coffee. Happy Christmas Eve to you and Merry Christmas to you, because this show today will be rebroadcast tomorrow on Christmas Day. I'll be back Monday live and look forward to the incredible things that we expect are probably going to happen even over the weekend here. You got to love, by the way, the Oregonian or not. They have an AP story. Dominion Voting Systems Director sues Trump campaign, conservative media. And it's, they call this guy who is a Trump-hating, Antifa-loving, based on his own website and tweets. They call him an election systems worker driven into hiding by death threats. He's filed a defamation lawsuit against Donald Trump's campaign, two of its lawyers, and some conservative media figures and outlets. He's not an election systems worker, folks. He is a guy seen on video, literally explaining how fraud can happen, how votes can be changed and manipulated in the voting machines. Now, the only thing I got to say about Dr. Eric Coomer is this. There's a thing called discovery, buddy. And you know what? You've been silently working in the background, according to your own videos, your own words. And now everything you've been doing forensically can be found out through the process of discovery. I know I've been through it, Dr. Coomer, and you're not going to like it. Because you see, now it means that your personal emails as a private citizen regarding your work for Dominion Voting Systems opens the door for discovery legally. And all those emails, everything in all of your communications, text messages, I know I've been through this, are now discoverable by the defendants that you are suing. So good luck, Dr. Coomer. Good luck in discovery, because we already know, they already know what you've done and what you've said. Good luck. Let's go to the phones. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Ron, good morning. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. Merry Christmas Eve and happy birthday, Jesus, you know.
Amen.
But,
yeah.
I'll tell you this right now. I'm going to hit everything in one throw. Let's start with the window breaking. It's wrong. Person should be held accountable. But the,
yep.
But I want you to think about what I'm going to say here. Number one, the state here across the line and across this country is tired of a justice system that is separate but equal. It works for one party, but yet does not prosecute nobody. Investigate, everybody gets a get-out-of-jail-free card, from the Eric Holder situation of Fast and Furious to the present with Antifa. People's common folks watching their livelihoods going the heck in the handbasket. They're being restricted of their livelihoods and various things, the places they want to go. You caging all these cats in a dang corner and kicking them, and they're tired of being kicked. That's why they was there at the Capitol. And I did all I can. Didn't get to go, but I told some to try to keep their head on their shoulder and keep an eye on those that ain't. You can only do so much. Once that bowl of inequality starts running over, once it goes outside that bowl, then you have a hot mess, worse than magma that's in the core of this earth. Number two, I'm shameful. I've talked to Mr. Bennett several times over the years, just another. I figured it reasonable, but for the city of Salem to play these cockamamie games, but yet, you want to talk about if we're worried about a pandemic, all these damn homeless around the valley here in Marion, Polk, and every other county in the state doing their drugs, leaving the needles, leaving a mess so the taxpayers can pay for it for hundreds of thousands of dollars every quarter. This is not acceptable. It's rude, and people's tired of that. Between all these factors, Jeff, and I know people out there, and I hear it, and the stress, the anxiety, and the economic roller coasters, it's got people on the edge of something we ain't seen or read about. Makes the times before the civil rights movement look like a cakewalk. Almost like 1859, 1860, the way this thing's going. between a Kansas-Missouri borderline incidents. But overall, people got to keep their head on their shoulder. We got to stand this, that, and another. But at the same time, getting to Megan, I'm glad that we call it, go after these guys. And the guy that's Mr. Dominion, you know, I think each private citizen that feel like they've been disenfranchised by their vote in those states, and even out here in Oregon, should go sue that guy in retaliation. Because he and his machines made a false statement. They have been accounted, saying that they were certified by a federal election advisory committee several times on their machines, and they lied. They've been asked to stop saying that, but yet they still got them on their machines certified by the nature. On that basis, they're going to open up a can of worms. Only thing going to save them is maybe the Belt and Road project from China. You know what I'm saying? Their little spies and everything else that'll cover his butt. And that's the biggest thing that I see, is that we have, and the Republican Party, they better step up. If they don't, I'm not going to say they're going to be primaried out, but I believe that it's another, the people with the fragility of our elections in this state especially, like I said, in the last three elections, Portland and Eugene, if everybody voted in 2018-2020, shouldn't win. But being that we got the factory in those two, in these regions that I just mentioned, bad machinery, possibly tampered with, it explains a lot. So let's pray. Merry Christmas. Eat, drink, be merry. Do not drive. And hug your loved ones. Uplift them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well said, brother.
God bless you.
No, that's not poverty.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 24 minutes before the top of the hour. Great to have you. This segment is brought to you by Freedom Heating and Air. You know, it's kind of cold out there, and if the old furnace or maybe the heat pump is not keeping up, you need to get it fixed if you want to be comfortable. So why don't you check out Freedom Heating and Air? It's freedomheatingandair.net. That's freedomheatingandair.net. They've got great discounts for veterans and seniors. But more importantly, they can get out to your place right away. They can fix it. freedomheatingandair.net. Joining me right now is David and Amanda Vital. Good morning, friends. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you?
Fantastic. Amanda, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning, Jeff.
Okay, good morning to you. Friends, the reason that we're chatting with this couple is because of, well, a couple of things. It's the great work they did over the summer with the Salem Awakening events down on the waterfront, Salem Park, that really did change people's lives and offered a lot of hope to people in a difficult time. But also now how, what they're planning for the future for that, because they're going to do it again, Lord willing, but they're going to expand it, and how that might have an impact on the other part of the conversation we're going to have with them, and that is how they are now being targeted by the left and Antifa, and how that might play out with all of that. So, guys, why don't you just briefly just describe why you did the Salem Awakening events and what you really felt was the benefit or the fruit of all of that.
Yeah, sure. So as soon as COVID, the COVID-19 pandemic started hitting here, all of the churches, many of the churches, I should say, decided to close down. We noticed that there was a big need in the community for worship, for spreading the gospel, And we saw Salem Awakening as an opportunity to provide, like what you mentioned a little bit ago, hope and just a time to gather for Christians that were not able to meet regularly, like they were, you know, like because of the lockdown. So we held the Salem Awakening event, which was preaching the gospel and doing worship music with about 24 churches that had signed on over the summer. And we held this event every single day from Father's Day, June 22nd, until Labor Day, September 7th, down at the park. So that's really where our heart was to preach the gospel. You know, Jesus tells us to go out and make disciples, and this was the first step in doing that. We really wanted to do some outreach and evangelism and just provide just that worship for people that were lacking that.
So, I mean, you had, I mean, I followed what you guys did on Twitter and other and Facebook, and watched some of it live. You know, I'm a farmer, so at that time that you guys were out doing that in the evenings, I was out farming. But I was following it, watching it, and I would see, David and Amanda, that, you know, as people would pan around the audience, that there were varying degrees of numbers of people who were there. Describe for me what you think the impact was on the people who attended, and who were the people that attended?
Yeah, as far as the attendees that we had, so this was held downtown at the Riverfront Park. We chose that location because of the amount of traffic that it gets. So we had attendees from just regular joggers, hikers, walkers, people walking their pets, just people taking a stroll out with their families, come in and join. So we had people that were part of other churches that would come by, hear the worship music, and then just be like, wow, I can't believe this is going on right now. And we had other people who didn't know anything about the gospel. They just kind of like, hey, we hear music happening and we're interested, and they've stopped by and they'd get to hear the gospel message. So we had quite a variety of range of people that would come down to be there. It was always, we were always getting new people added every single day that we had this event. And so we had a lot of repeat people and a lot of people that were spreading the word. We had people come down from Portland, Eugene, people who were even vacationing here in Salem. I remember when I met a couple from California, I met another couple from Michigan that would just happen to be stopping by and heard the worship music and came down and participated with us there.
So Amanda,
my favorite thing about all that, Jeff, is that all the people who came to it, we haven't lost touch with it. There's many, many people who came down to the service who now go to the River Church or other churches here in Salem. So it was kind of like a way that the public could comfortably meet and see a lot of these different churches here in Salem and get to know like the worship pastors and the pastors from them. And it's really neat that, you know, that they have decided to make a commitment for Christ and be saved and, you know, find a church home, a church family that they've connected with.
So what was the response from city officials for you guys doing that?
So in the beginning, we went through about a month-long process where we got the city of Salem to approve of our application, and we had the thing reserved completely legally. Entirely paid the whole thing off, and I think we raised the money in about a week, maybe a week and a half or something like that. And when we agreed to it in the beginning, we had agreed to you know, keep up with all of COVID's rules, all the new mandates as the governor was passing them out. And one of them I remember was that we were going to put up like temporary fencing around the whole thing, and that we were going to count how many people could attend inside our fenced off area. We had hand sanitizers. We suggested the masks. We did everything they asked us to do. And since it was an outdoor location, I believe we were allowed to have 25 people at first. And that was that first day when we, you know, turned the papers in. And as soon as we got the papers approved, that very same day that we got them approved by the city of Salem was the day that Kate Brown changed the mandate to say 250 people could be at an event because we had opened up to phase two. And so we were ecstatic about that. We were really excited that we could have 250 people. And so we went through everything completely legit and respectful, just as what, you know, we all felt like we should be doing at that time. And I believe we lasted about 2.5-3 weeks before the city ended up emailing us back and saying that they were withdrawing our paid for reservations at that time, and they denied us access to that location that we had already been granted permission to. And so we were kind of shocked about that at the time. And so we asked our team, we made the decision that we were going to continue to go down there. And we made one thing very clear to the public, that it was a public property and that we never wanted to step on somebody else's toes. And if anybody ever wanted to use it, and it was, you know, for that same time that they kind of all knew, like the whole, it seemed like all of Salem kind of pretty much knew that we were going to be down there. So they, you know, they could just come to us or email us and let us know, hey, you know, I've got something going on and I'd like to use the amphitheater. And we would have moved. We made that known to people. And we would have just gone to, like, the other side of Riverfront Park, like the meadow or something like that, because it was easy enough for us just to move to a different location. But it seemed really interesting to us. There was a lot of Facebook pages and groups that would try to claim that we were just hogging that area. And so you have, like, the Salem Hate Watch or Willamette Valley Hate Watch page. And what was the other one called, David? I believe it's the Salem City Council page.
Yes.
They both would put out a lot of false information about us, a lot of very hateful things about us. And what happened was they stirred up a bunch of trouble. I won't blame them completely, but they sure added, you know, gasoline to the fire. But they brought a lot of resistance to our church service by telling people false information, like we were hogging that location. And there was one group of ladies, mostly ladies, who went down there, and they were the yoga and beer club. And so when they would come down there, like it was like about every other Wednesday evening, we always had to deal with them. They would let us know, hey, just remember, Amanda, it's our night. We're doing our thing. And we would move over to the meadow those nights. So there's proof that, you know, if somebody would let us know what was going on, and we would move, and nobody else ever approached us. But because people spread, you know, false information on many different aspects, that was just one of them. We ended up having Antifa and BLM come down there multiple times all summer, you know, just harassing us.
So how did the city of Salem respond to the harassment from Antifa and others on the left, Black Lives Matters and others?
They really didn't respond at all. They actually, they didn't even address it. We tried communicating with them, and they pretty much said, hey, it's a public park. They can do whatever they want. There's nothing that they would be willing to do to try to help us. If we were able to have kept our permit, then this would have been a private event, and we would have been able to ask people to leave or have the Salem Police Department help us out and maintain, you know, just people only those invited guests into our event. But because it wasn't no longer permitted, we pretty much had to deal with them the best that we could without the help of the city.
All right, David and Amanda, hang on through the break here, because I want to ask you further about what you're planning for the future with Salem Awakening, maybe expanding it to other cities, and what's happening as you do your worship services in front of Planned Parenthood, Antifa attacking you, going after you, the city of Salem not helping you there either. Back in a moment with David and Amanda Vitale. 48. Call
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Ten minutes till the top of the hour. If you have hope for saving our republic, well, you should have hope as we continue with this interview in just a moment with David and Amanda Vitale for what they're doing at the local level and how that might expand to other places across the state. Also, I'm going to put on the show plan the interview that Joshua Phillips of the Epoch Times, the investigative reporter, his interview with Lynn Wood, the lawyer that's in the news, the defamation lawyer from Georgia, been very, very successful. It is one of the most inspiring interviews. I watched it in its total time last night, and I want to encourage you to watch it because it really does inspire you. Also, friends, I want to remind you that, you know, Christmas, of course, is tomorrow. Today, I am stopping by on my way to out of town for Christmas. I'm stopping by ProBioscience. That is this great Salem company that makes these Oregon-grown CBD products that make your life better. And I'm specifically picking up these pain sticks that have worked so well for me and my body. You know, the CBD is of the highest quality. They only use Oregon-grown CBD. It doesn't make you high because it doesn't have THC in it. But it really does help your body. It helps my body, and it helps my pain levels just from some of my old injuries. Well, I'm picking up several of these pain sticks today to hand out as Christmas presents because it really works. And just about everybody I know has aches and pains. So maybe if at some point you think that that's right for you, you can try it yourself. You can communicate with them. Go to their website, which is pro-bioscience, pro-bioscience.com. You can call Jen and talk to her. You can learn a lot more about all of their products, including some of the products they have for pets. If you decide to buy online in the month of December, use the discount code, the word Christ. After all, it is Christmas. Christ. And you get a 15% discount. Plus, they have a loyalty program where you can save even more. Pro-bioscience.com. David and Amanda, thanks for hanging on. So, obviously, you have felt that this was beneficial and worthwhile for the community and for people's souls. Are you going to keep doing it, and are you going to expand it?
Yeah, so what the plan is, Jeff, is... when we started doing Salem Awakening in the summertime, there's, I believe, about seven churches who had signed on, and they had agreed to help. And by the time it was the end of the summer, like David said, there was 24 who had actually come. But the thing he forgot to mention was that there was many other churches who said that they wanted to join us this next summer. And so we are going to do Salem Awakening next summer in 2021. And the kind of way that we structure it is we basically feel like we are just the schedulers, the coordinators, and that we just, you know, as ministries and churches call up, we just put them on the calendar for one evening or, you know, several evenings, and we just fill up the calendar until we've got, you know, the whole summer full. But when we were doing that, we saw, you know, there's a lot of interest in people up in Portland who want us to do the same thing. So what our plan is to do the same thing up in Portland this next year. So we'll be doing Salem Awakening and Portland Awakening. And so how we're going to go about that is the same way. We're just going to be asking the Portland churches to sign on, basically, and to choose an evening where they want to come down there and their church or their ministry wants to host worship and a message in the park.
If people want, by the way, to partner with you, how would they contact you? Do you have a Facebook page? Do you have a website?
We do. Do you remember what the website's called, Dave?
It's awakening-ministries.com. And, yeah, so just if you could look us up on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, we are Awakening Ministries, and that's how people can reach out to us.
It's awakening-ministries.com, correct?
Correct.
Okay, I'll be sure to put that on the show plan. All right, so in the last 2.5 minutes we have left here today, describe for us how you have been going down in front of Planned Parenthood once a month to do worship and to pray, and what's happened. What's happened there as a result of that?
Yeah, so we've had 3 events so far done at the Planned Parenthood off Wolverine and Lancaster here in Salem. And each time the resistance, the protesters, has only increased. So we definitely know that the enemy, this is a place where the enemy really does not want us to be, because we've had just so much resistance right from the beginning. We are doing worship in front of Planned Parenthood, and then doing gospel messages, prayer, and just a church message for worship service for the church body and anybody who's there. And so far we've had several protesters show up, and like I said, each time it seems to be escalating in the amount of aggressiveness that they're showing. We've noticed that a lot of the members from BLM, not all, but a lot of them from BLM and Antifa, are Satan worshipers. This last event that we had on November 12th, we had a group show up who all over their vehicle was written "Hail Satan," and they had signs. They stood right there and were trying to make noise to interrupt our speakers during our worship. They were making noise, doing chants, and yeah. The one thing that we see as the positive benefit out of all of this is that even though they're there being disruptive, they still moments when they stop talking and actually listen to our worship. They actually have to listen to the gospel message that's being preached. So in a sense, they're attending church service with us, you know, every time we go. It's a great opportunity for everybody.
That's true, and that's wonderful. In the minute we have left, have they threatened you, and how has the city of Salem and the police department responded?
Yeah, so that we have received threats. We get private messages all the time saying, you know, good luck with this. You guys better become prepared, or better be prepared to get paintballed or tasered. There's just a lot of threats that happen. We've reached out to the City of Salem Police Department. They have said that no, they cannot provide any kind of security. They said they have people patrolling in the area and can have people stop by. This last time we were there, they actually had a patrol car nearby. However, some of the recent antics that Antifa and BLM have used is they had accused some of our guys of some of the people that were attending our gathering there of slashing their tires, and that just created a big fiasco there, where police, you know, had to kind of differentiate and determine, you know, who did what, who didn't do what, and nobody ended up getting arrested, but definitely there were people detained. I know I heard a taser, you know, be pulled out and start crackling. Right. It was just a scary event for a lot of people. But
so in the last few seconds, when is your next event, and how can people come and join you in front of Planned Parenthood?
We always do it on the second Tuesday of every month at 6:00, and it's on Wolverine.
So it'll be the second Tuesday of next month at 6:00.
Yeah, so it'll be January 12th at 6:00.
Thank you, David and Amanda Vitale. Be blessed. Have a marvelous Christmas. Keep the faith. We'll all be praying, and we'll come down and join you. Thank you, friends.
Thank you, Jeff.
First hour, 2 more hours to go. Be back.